Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. So it's not brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my needs. Don't hesitate because I am a thief. Cause every good
praise the Lord, everyone. Praise the Lord. Welcome to When Christians Speak Talk Radio. My name is Ray. Today's broadcast, of course, is Matters of the Heart, Singles Ministry. I have with me today Brother Robert is with me. Sister Renee is with me. And, of course, my co-partner over here, Maggie, is with me, too. So how's everybody doing? How's everyone?
Good.
Amazing.
Hello, is this on? Okay, no, let me stop playing. But anyway, I want to welcome you to the broadcast. I'm glad it's how we can continue our topic about do's and don'ts of relationship. This is part four. I want to encourage you to go back and listen to part one through three. We're closing out the year. December 2022 is in a few days, a couple of weeks, man, and God has truly blessed us. I do want to go ahead and thank in advance the hosts and every single one of you that has joined us for all four parts of this, amen. I do want to remind you that we have some broadcasts that are coming up. We have History by the Grace from Ms. Vanessa Williams. It's every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Silent to Change from Pastor Paul Morgan is every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Declare the Finished Work of Reverend Pat Randall is Thursday at 12 noon. Friday Night Joy. It's the first and the second and the fourth Friday at 7 p.m. I remember the date on that one. The Bread of Life is the first and the third Sundays at 7 p.m. Our week of prayer is called Midday Glory Prayer with Reverend Gwen Dixon. That's every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Amen. And there's a free conference call, so you can call it anytime. The number is 267-807-9605. The access code is 732-4199. Also, I want to remind you about Life Live for the Apostle Shirley Jones every first Monday at 7 p.m. Adoration with Evangelist Lewis McElwain is every third Monday at 7 p.m. Madison Hall, which is today, is every third Friday at 7 p.m. We've got a dynamite crew here. Bold and Beautiful is for young people. That's every second Saturday at 10 a.m. Hour 3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk is every second Sunday at 7 p.m. And Marriage Takeover is every fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. And I know it's broadcast, the Spiritual Nuggets of Truth, and that airs every second and fourth Monday at 8 p.m. with Minister Carmen A. Booker. Please, by all means, go and check us out at whenchristianspeak.com. We're on all about 11 different platforms from iTunes. You can listen to us on iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and that's the name of a few. So we're all over the place. We'd love to hear from you. You can get in contact with us either through our social media page or our website at whenchristianspeak@gmail.com. And so at this time, what we're going to do, we're going to turn everything over to Maggie, and Brother Robert is going to pray. Amen. Brother Robert.
Turn to God, Heavenly Father, we come before you in the precious name of Jesus. We thank you for this day which you have made. We will continue to rejoice and be glad in it. We are so grateful and thankful that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So we thank you for this opportunity to broadcast. We thank you, Father, that even as the show says Matters of the Heart, we pray that we will continue to pursue your heart, that we know that what matters to you, and that is what we will speak. So we thank you right now. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will lead and guide us through this broadcast. And we thank you now for the hearts that will be encouraged based on what is said tonight and spoken tonight. So we thank you that you watch over your word to perform it through each of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord on tonight. We thank you, Brother Robert, for that powerful prayer.
And we thank each and every one of you that have joined us on tonight. So we're going to dive right in with our questions. And we have a couple that we want to, and we're going to ask our brother Robert to be the timekeeper tonight, if he doesn't mind. That we don't.
Yes, I have my stopwatch ready.
Okay, you got your stopwatch ready? That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. We want to be able to get to these questions and not spend too much time on each one, but, you know, answer it in an effective way in the time frame that we've been allotted. Amen? So a question number one, and I believe I sent everyone the question, so it says, what are some of the red flags or green flags to look for when you are dating? What are some of the red flags or green flags to look for when you are dating? And we're going to ask our sister Renee, if she doesn't mind, she can answer that.
So one of the things that I thought about when I saw that question was anger. Anger is a red flag. And I say anger because I was, you guys know me, I'm very transparent. I give examples. Years ago, back in 2004, I think, I was dating this guy at this church that we attended. And, you know, everything was fine for like the first month or so. And then I noticed he had I asked him a question, and he got very angry. And that was kind of odd for me because I wasn't used to dating someone who would get angry to that extent. And so, you know, after that happened a few other times, I just came out and asked him, I said, have you ever been a woman? And so he said, well, yeah, I did, but that was before I got saved, woo, woo, woo. That was a red flag for me because that anger, the anger was so intense. And, I mean, you know, normally if you're dating someone, you guys get in a disagreement or something. That's not the thing that will come to your mind to ask, have you ever hit a woman before? But for it to be his anger to be that strong, it made me ask him that. And so as time went on, you know, I noticed other things would come out. And I just started asking the Lord to reveal who this man is to me. And sure enough, the Lord did. He gave me a dream. And then in the dream, I saw certain things. And then as the time went on, I saw a couple of other things coming to pass, and I was like, it's time to nip this one right here. And so anger is one thing to the red flag. A green flag that I would look at is that I would look for someone who would be interested in praying. I love to pray, but if I saw someone who was very interested in prayer or always referencing the word, that would raise an alert, a good alert, but I wouldn't so easily be swayed by that because, you know, people know how to play games, and the Bible says that the enemy comes in a wolf in sheep's clothing, so you have to be able to recognize and discern what you're dealing with. I mean, I can go on and on, but I'll stop there.
Okay, sounds good. Robert?
That was an excellent answer. One of the things we have to keep in mind, especially since this broadcast goes throughout the nation, it depends on what kind of relationship it is. Is it a long-distance relationship, or if it's one that's close proximity to you? And the reason I say that is because it's relative, and it's based on perspective. Perfect example, maybe not so perfect. I was in a long-term relationship with someone that lived in New York, and we had a great friendship, a great relationship, but sometimes I felt like they were not necessarily angry, but kind of abrupt or abrasive. And then I was in a relationship not that long ago with someone who lived like southern Georgia, you know, country down south. And we were having a conversation early on in our dating, and she asked me, do you have anger problems? And I was like, no. I wasn't offended, but I was like, what would make you ask me a question like that? And then being in a coaching community with people from around the country, hearing someone from New York and having someone in California, someone down south, think that they were being abrasive, and they weren't. It's just part of the culture. In some ways, we handle things. I was like, no, it's just, you got to understand, I'm from Philly, so we always know what's going on around us. We're on ready, set at all times. Mm-hmm. Not that we're looking for a fight, but we're ready. And then sometimes if somebody says something to us in the wrong way, we're quick to check them. That has nothing to do with anger. Basically, what I'm trying to say is both have to have the same or working definition on what's really anger and what's somebody's just their bent or their tendency. But if we're talking about just pure anger, yeah, that's definitely a red flag that you want to address initially and move on from it, because you don't want to put yourself in harm's way, whether you're a man or a woman.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Okay, so that was the red flag. What's the green flag?
A green flag in dating? For me, one, are they working? you know, a green flag, are they working? Do they have, you know, do they have the drive and ambition? Are they pursuing purpose?
Mm-hmm.
I could go on as far as credit scores, credit scores and debt ratio and stuff like that. But those are two basic ones. And the reason I said, are they pursuing purpose and do they have a job or they have, you know, are they working? Is one thing I learned from my bishop years ago, that is, if a person doesn't have purpose, they're not going to respect yours. So if you're pursuing purpose and if you're pursuing purpose and destiny and they aren't, then they're going to have a problem with you. What do you mean you can't talk to me now because you're about to go in prayer? What do you mean we can't go out on this date on such and such because you have ministry obligations? Or what do you mean you're just taking time to study, you know, or you're working on your book or whatever the case is, you know, or you're working on your business plan. You don't have time for me? Because if they're not pursuing purpose and destiny, it's like, okay, but no, you got to stop what you're doing. It's simple thing is like if you call and say, hi, how are you? You answer the phone and say, hey, are you busy? And it's like, yes, I am. I'm doing something right now. And then they just start a conversation with you anyway after you just said you were busy. It's like, did you not just hear me say I have to get something done? Oh, yeah, green flags. You know, are they working? Are they pursuing purpose and destiny?
Okay. I can say the red flag for me, I don't even know if I'm a good person to even talk about any of this tonight. The red flag for me is inconsistencies, you know, and what I mean by that is if we're dating and you don't make time for the person you're dating, that's a red flag for me. That, you know, if you make a date or, you know, set up something and then you don't keep it, if you are, the list goes on and on, if you don't tell the truth, if you embellish, those are red flags for me. If you don't have, of course, a source of income and, you know, those things. Those are all red flags for me. Let me make sure I'm answering this question right, because this is not a venting session, so hold on one second. I'm sorry. Wait. Okay. So those are red flags for me. The green flag for me would be, you know, when things are vibing and things, are we on the same page, you know, are we pursuing purpose? Are we, you know, some of the stuff that Robert said, you know, far as making sure that you're pursuing purpose and doing the things that you need to do to cultivate and to develop the relationship. Things like that, like, are we doing that? Those are the green flags for me. Anybody else want to chime in before we go on to the next one? Is the buzzer, is it time for the buzzer?
I wanted to add one more thing. I'm sorry, go ahead, Minister Ray.
Okay, Minister Greta, no, you first, please.
So I was just going to say another red flag also is a jealous partner. Because if you're in a relationship and the person is jealous, those are signs of insecurities and also, some baggage that they have had from previous relationships. And if anyone is bringing any kind of baggage in a relationship, that's definitely a red flag that you don't want to ignore. And again, the ones that I give are examples of things that I've gone through, and the jealousy and insecurity, if you're with someone who is going to be jealous and they're insecure, that's going to create a problem because you can have just a friend, a simple friend, and they will be so insecure that they will create an argument from there. And that argument can roll and go on and on. So those are red flags that you want to look out for also.
Well, I was going to say the same thing, but she took it. So I'm going to talk about jealousy is definitely a red flag or being insecure. And especially in being in ministry, you want someone that's in your life that they don't get upset or they'll get bothered by the opposite sex because you're ministering or whatever and stuff. And everything is done in decency and order, but you need them to be sure of who they are and you need to be them to also trust the God in you, trust the Holy Spirit in you and everything that you wouldn't do to be disrespectful or nothing like that. So, jealousy is a And I'm going to say this, and this might be a little bit controversial, then we'll move on. There's certain jealousy that it's okay with. I don't have a problem with it. But when it starts turning into putting a rabbit in a pot and cooking a rabbit, a pet rabbit.
Wait a minute.
Fatal attractive.
Oh.
I know you probably. But it was the lady.
Rabbit.
Yeah, she put the rabbit in the pot. She put the rabbit in the pot. She put the family rabbit in the pot. Jealous, put the rabbit in the pot. That was cray cray.
Okay.
Crazy jealous.
I thought she was talking about witchcraft for a minute. But you still could be lined up with cray cray, but that's where I thought you was going. I was like, rabbit?
not rabbit, but rabbit. All right, can I finish, please? This is why we take up all the time for the questions, Maggie.
Well, we got to throw a little jokes in there every now and again.
Okay. In a way, my green flag is I love being with a partner that prays and worship and that's willing to pray with me and do those things, minister together, that's really important to me in a relationship, that for me, that's my, I don't want to say eye candy, but that's, for me, that's attractive, when I see that. And I'm like, wow, and it's for real, it's not just to be seen, nothing like that, but it's holy, and stuff like that. So that's me.
Okay. Anybody else before we move on? Okay. I guess that's a no.
No.
Moving right along. So question number two. Is there anything wrong with remaining single?
Is there anything wrong?
We want to start with you.
Who did you want to start with?
Who did you say?
Can you hear me?
We just didn't hear who you said.
We didn't hear.
Oh, Robert, we're going to start with you.
I don't see nothing wrong with a little singleness. No, it's because, no, seriously, I don't know what a scripture is, but I fully agree with it. I mean, if you're single and you're, even Paul said, I find that whatever state I find myself in to be content with.
I'm limited in that reference to that.
Excuse me?
But I do see where you're going with the scripture. I'm going to find it for you. Go ahead. Keep talking. I'm sorry.
It says, right. So if that's where you are, and if you find that where you are in your singleness, you're getting, you're maximizing your potential, then yes, continue to pursue singleness until God shows you otherwise. So it said, obviously, we're all familiar with the scripture that says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. But if you're doing what God has called you to do, you don't abandon your post and stop doing what you God has called you to do to find, you know, a wife. You know, Adam was perfectly fine single, even though it said it's not good for man to be alone. That meant it's not good for man to be all one, because God knew what he wanted to come through Adam. So when it's time, if a man is single and he's content with his single state, when God sees fit that he's maximized his potential as far as singleness, and that it's his will to be with a wife, he will put Adam to sleep, so to speak. And when he wakes up, he will see who God has for him, or he will see the venues or the avenues to take to find who he has, who's going to be a helper to him and what God has called him to do. And by the same token, help her with what God has called her to do. Because the godly marriage, the godly or that model for marriage that we have in Genesis, he called both of them to purpose and destiny. He called both of them to be fruitful, multiply, and subdue the earth. That was a partnership that he ordained. And so I have a problem with men who say, okay, I don't care if she preach, I don't care if she sing, I don't care what she do. If she marry me, she's going to have to follow what my vision is. Her vision shouldn't die, and what God has called her shouldn't die.
Wow, that's perfect.
Just for his, and I don't want to get off topic, so, yeah.
Okay, so that's good. And see, that's why we look at it from the standpoint of when the Bible talk about being unequally yoked, we look at it from a standpoint because tradition taught us that they have to be saved, but that doesn't necessarily just mean that, right? Because how can two walk together except they what? Agree. Now,
right.
I'm just going to say in general, you can't marry someone if you don't have like-mindedness in a sense of vision and purpose. Because if I'm going in one direction and you're going in another, how can two walk together except they agree? That's not going to be what God has ordained. That's actually confusion, right?
Mm-hmm.
You look at that.
Mm-hmm.
So in Genesis, when God put Adam to sleep and he pulled woman from his side, and then, well, man became, you know, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, yes. God said in his and then, you know, he said, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, she should be called woman. That was his wife. He made that acknowledgement of that. And then God later on says that it's not good for man to be alone. And he made him a helpmate suitable for man. So when we look at that at the word, and then we look at what Miles Monroe has put out there when it comes to marriage and dating, God gives us the opportunity to meet the person. It's up to us to make the choice. And then for us to make the choice, we need to consult God that it's the right choice.
Yes.
And even if it's a choice to remain single.
And even if it's a choice to remain single, because it said, I think, 1 Corinthians 7, where Paul talks about that he'd rather that we all be mm-hmm. single as he is,
mm-hmm.
as the scripture that you were talking about earlier, Robert.
Yes.
You know what? This little kid was coughing today, and I was like, get away from me. And now but the devil is a liar. But anyway, I didn't tell him to get away from me, but I was like, put that mask on.
We understand.
No, that's totally off the subject. But he was coughing like crazy, and I was like, oh, my God, go to the nurse. Put your mask on, go to the nurse. But anyway, so let me see. This is the NIV. It says, but since there is no such immorality, this is Corinthians 7 and 7, 1 Corinthians 7, 7. Each man should have his own wife, each woman her own, but every man has his own gift from God, which is to give another. Now, to the unmarried and the widows, I say, it is good for them to stay unmarried as I am. That's what Paul said. So, but like you said, it's a choice. You know, it's a choice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anything wrong with remaining single if that's what you choose, but it's up to you. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to jump in there and give a whole Bible lesson, but go ahead, guys. Take it on, Renee.
Did you say,
Renee?
You said take it on, Renee? Okay, I'm sorry.
Renee, yes,
so, Robert,
please.
Actually, I love what you said, Robert, because I think whatever state you're in, you have to be content. And if you are single, enjoy your singleness while you're single, if you want to get married. And I say that because there was one time where, this was years ago, I mean, you guys know I've been saved over 25 years now, but at one time all I wanted was to get married. Once I got saved, because I was like, okay, now that I'm saved, the Lord is going to send me a husband and woo, 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 woo. Well, years went on, and every year I would be like, Lord, is this my year? Lord, is this my year? And to the point where I found that at certain times of the year, I started getting depressed because I wasn't married. And then I don't know what changed. I got to the point where I was so happy being single because I found that I was able to really focus on building the relationship with the Lord. And then I got to the point where I don't want to get married because that means that I won't have this kind of relationship with the Lord. I don't want my relationship with the Lord interrupted. I enjoy getting up in the morning and spending hours with him. And if I'm married, I wouldn't be able to do that because I got to tend to my husband and, you know, all of this craziness. So I got to the point where I was really content being single and didn't think about getting married. And then within the past couple of years, I was like, okay, I want to get married. So it's whatever state you're in, be content in that state until the Lord moves you to the next state. And then also, I also like what Rob said is that when you, you know, when you meet a mate, that mate should be able to accept that ministry, whatever ministry the Lord has called you to, as well as you accept the ministry that God has called them to, because you two should complement each other. There's a, you know, the saying that's in the world, opposites attract. Well, you know, I don't think that's the case when it should be the case when you look at ministry, when you look at those who are in the Lord. How can you walk together if you're opposite of what each other are believing and what each other are going after? You have to be like-minded. That's like-minded in serving the Lord and pursuing the things of the Lord, as well as, you know, being career, or I'm not going to say career-driven, but the things that you are pursuing, you have to have a purpose. If you don't have a purpose, then you're just going to be waiting on the wayside for somebody to come along and then somebody that's going to pick you up and carry you with them. And it shouldn't be like that. You guys should be walking hand in hand, balancing each other out. And the man should always be the head. It's not the woman taking control and being the head. That's a lopsided, imbalanced relationship. The man should always be the head because that's how God created it to be. I'm just speaking as far as, in that relationship, if a woman is dominating and ruling over and controlling everything, then that's a problem there. But you know. To get back to the question, is there anything wrong with being single? Absolutely not. I don't think it's, I mean, if a person dies single and content serving the Lord as a single person, so be it. I don't think it's anything wrong with that.
Amen.
And that's my 20 hours worth of speaking.
Right.
Yeah. I think it's, but there are people that
Is that your phone?
My phone? No.
I hear a lot of static.
I think it was Ray.
It was that.
We know he's going to say that. We already know that. But we know it's going to be a same time.
No, someone else just joined us, but I'm not sure who it was. But, I think it's okay. No, it's okay to be bigger. You should, a person, whatever state you're in, you should be okay with that, you know. And be it as one that has been married before in the past, become newly single again. Well, not newly single, but single again. And you just accept it where you are, you know what I mean?
Take a question? I got a question for you guys.
Okay. Who was speaking?
My name is Joe.
Okay, Joe.
Oh. So. Excuse me. So I saw in your description page, and the hashtag was like courtship. So I wanted to find out, since this is a Christian-based show, for the females, give me an example of what typical courtship would be. What kind of date? If you met somebody that you liked and you exchanged phone numbers, after you exchanged phone numbers, both of you, he went to his place, you went to your place, then what would the courtship ritual be like?
Well, I guess it depends on the two people, you know, because if you listen to the previous shows, the courtship can be based, you know, it has to be defined, you know, because when you're out, when you're dating or everybody's standard of dating is different. So it would definitely have to be conversations. I mean, you would need to go out on your initial date or at least have that conversation that you will want to go on a date, especially if you already exchanged numbers. So we talking about talking on the phone, getting information, trying to figure out do you want to sit across the table and have dinner with this person? Before you do that, you need to have that conversation. And if you see the conversation going in a way that's feasible or that's pleasant for the both of you, then you decide, okay, so let's set a date. And it could be at a restaurant, you know, whatever the case, maybe just to get coffee. Some people just want to do coffee these days before they actually do dinner. So you might want to do that, and then after you, you know, have coffee and then decide you want to do dinner, then you want to do dinner, then you decide if you want to take it, you know, to another date. And then the courtship in itself would be the two of you agreeing that, I mean, I'm going on old school thinking, somebody can jump in at any time and correct me. But old school thinking, courtship is, you know, where you guys are just seeing each other and getting to know each other with hopes of wanting to probably make this a possible marriage or something. You know, as Christians, that's what the goal should be. But everyone is not there yet. And some people just want to just date. So it depends on the individuals. Anybody else want to interject? You feel free.
So I have something to say, but he had addressed women, so I'll wait.
Okay. So who was that? Was that Robert?
Yes, I'll wait because he wanted the women to answer first. So I wanted to make sure that y'all had time to answer first.
Okay. So I think it is based on what you define dating as. So if two people are seeing each other and they decide that, okay, it's going to be, you know, more like Maggie said, as far as dating, Christians dating should be with the intent of getting married. If you're looking just to have somebody to hang out with, that's one thing. We're hanging out just chilling. But if we're dating and a courtship is involved, then Yeah, I think however it rolls out, but I think there are some lines that should be drawn in the sand during that courtship. There's things that, you know, because we are dating and we are dating towards getting married, there are some things that we're just not going to do. And I think we touched on this on, we had an extensive conversation on this with the last call. We're not going to be intimate, you know, because the Bible teaches us about not fornicating. So that's
all right. So what would be the ritual? What would be a typical? Let's say you were single. I don't know if you are or not. Let's say you're single. You meet somebody. You like somebody. You go to a club. You like somebody. How would the dating ritual initiate itself?
What do you mean by ritual?
I'm not sure I understand what you mean by ritual. Yeah, what do you mean by ritual? Yeah, because I don't know what you mean by that.
All right, well, the dating, the process.
Okay, the process.
Okay. Well, I don't know, I don't know if there is a process. I think it just goes with the flow of it. But the process is, I don't think it should be you know, you're getting to know each other. Then, okay, yeah, we're dating, and we're dating towards the goal of getting married. Then that's what we're working towards. There's just Christian-based things or things that if you are a woman or a man of God, then, like I said, there are things that you just know are not going to happen before you get
married. I'm trying to find out what on a specific night. I understand your philosophy. You've explained that if the goal should be towards marriage. Now, you don't know this person, but the person you meet, you're at a club, see a guy that you like.
Christians should not be at clubs. That's
right.
Okay.
Shouldn't
be at clubs.
Can I interject for a second?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hopefully this will bring clarity. I think, Joe, we're not on the same page because you had used the word courtship, and it appears that and I'm not trying to correct you, but I think maybe you meant what is the dating process or what are components of the dating process of dating when you use the word ritual? And hopefully I can help. And so is that what you mean?
No, you're on the right track because I saw hashtag.
Okay.
No, you're on the right track because
okay.
I saw hashtag courtship. So in order to have courtship, you have to get to know each other, and that involves a dating process. So I wanted to know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with the hashtag, but because early on in the call, Maggie said something that was key. She used the word cultivation or cultivating, and that's what has to happen in the whole courtship process. So the meeting someone at a club or meeting somebody at Starbucks or meeting someone in the grocery store and you're exchanging phone numbers. That's kind of like the preliminary steps to the discovery process as far as friendship. And so you're getting to know a person. You want to get to know some of their likes and dislikes to find out and, you know, talk on the phone. Or, of course, this became really popular during we're still in the pandemic. But, you know, Zoom calls or whatever, video conferences and getting to know each other. And then after, you know, whether it's a couple weeks or a couple months, you say, okay, I feel comfortable with this person, or the lady says, I think I feel safe with this guy. Okay, now we can go out on a date. You know, and so it becomes more of a physical thing.
Wait,
so
after
I think
a few months?
You have to get
to know each other after a few months, and then you go out on a date.
Well, it depends on the individual. There's really no
blanket. Go with the flow.
There's really no solid formula, but one of the things that is the key to it is two keys. One is definition, and the other is agreement. That's another thing that Maggie said. How can two walk together except they agree?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, and that's what happens in the process. That's something that should be brought up in these conversations instead of what's your favorite color? You know, what's your favorite
color?
We got to get beyond that to, okay, what are some of your dreams and goals? Or, you know, how, you know, based on past experiences or where you are now, how long do you think the process should take before you would actually want to meet a person, meet me in person for coffee or whatever. You kind of start finding those things out early. You know?
All right, so let me give you a hypothetical to see if this matches whatever the mindset might be. A Christian woman is at the supermarket. She sees a guy that she finds appealing. She says, okay, I like this guy. He's cute. I've seen him here before. Seems like he's got some kind of sense of humor when he was with the cashier. So I think maybe he might be compatible with me. So she approaches him and strikes up a conversation with him and then asks him for his number. And so they exchange numbers. And then let's say it was on a Thursday. So she calls up on a Friday, calls him up to ask what he's doing on Saturday. And he says, well, I'm free. So then she says, well, why don't we go to a movie or to dinner or to dancing? Does that fit the dating process that might happen to some of the Christian women in your circle?
Christian women rarely approach the man.
Exactly.
I'm sorry, somebody else was going to say something?
I was going to say, we have to understand, too, that there's a lot, we really can't offer a blanket statement because it depends on a person's personality, their past history, and their attachment style. Because to one man, a woman doing that is fine. It's like, wow, she likes me. She wants to exchange phone numbers. To another man who has like an avoided attachment style, you know, like, yo, she's just smothering me. She just met me and she want my phone number already. So it depends on the individual.
Well, I agree. I understand that. I'm just asking for any, is it possible for a Christian female? I'm talking about from the female perspective now. Is it possible from the female perspective, from the women that you know, because already one of the hostesses said it's very rare for a woman to approach a man. So if it's rare for the woman to approach a man, doesn't that kind of limit her ability to get to know people?
No, it doesn't limit her ability to get to know. So here's the thing. As a Christian woman, there's a certain decorum that we walk in, and okay, for instance, you gave the scenario as at the supermarket. Now, they may give eye contact. They may, well, we wear a mask now, but you can kind of tell if they're smiling or not, depending on, you know, the look. Well, you know, the body has a language, put it that way, right? So you gave the scenario in a restaurant. I say very rarely that a Christian woman would approach the man, but she may let him know that she is interested just by mere looking at him. And like you said, the conversation that he might have had with the cashier that kind of looked like, oh, he has a sense of humor. He seems really cool. He seems really laid back. Just making that quick observation. She may let him see that she may have some interest in that way, but to approach him and ask, very rare. I'm not saying that it won't happen because, like Robert said, it depends on the individual, but very rare does it happen. But as women, generally, we will let you know if we're interested, and then that would give you the gateway or the door to approach them and say, well, she seems like she's approachable. Understand?
Okay, so in other words, the female might let the guy know but doesn't have the guts to actually ask him or engage in any kind of conversation with him in order to get his number.
I mean, right. She may, like I said, it depends. She may, you have some who might, but then you have some who won't, but they'll let you know that there's some pique interest there and that, you know, it's okay for you to approach me. Because, I mean, as Christian women, we don't, most of us, I can say, I can't speak for all of us. We're not taught in church, per se, to make that approach. to men, because the Bible says he who findeth, not saying that we jump in right and we're going to get married, but in that aspect, we don't make that initial call like that. Now, you have some who do, and I'm not knocking them if they do, because, I mean, some who have done that, I think it was actually, I think T.D. Jakes' wife actually did it, and she ended up with T.D. Jakes. But anyway, you have some that do, but typically you don't. But we make it known that there is some peak interest so that you, as a male, would know she's approachable in that way, if that makes sense to you guys tonight. I mean, anybody can jump in and, you know, add some more. Or...
Yeah, I agree with you, Maggie. I think also.
Ray, you wanted to say something, Ray? I'm sorry.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Yeah, I think also that we got what we did in one of the broadcasts, so we defined the word dating. And what was said is dating is a form of getting to know each other. And dating, in most cases, after you get to know that person, it's probably the process would lead to courtship. And courtship is when it becomes exclusive, where I'm only interested in you, and it's leading somewhere, it's leading to marriage or whatever case like that. But as far as, from a man's perspective, as far as a woman approaching another man, a man, that real life, that's taking place probably more so than ever before now, because women have become more aggressive. Not all, but they have become more aggressive. And it's the man who decides whether they like it or whether they don't, and everything like that. But I also believe the scriptures have said that the man defines the wife finds a good thing. So I think what it boils down to is that it's our topic as men to find. You know, and then a woman might give signs of interest, but we're the ones to do it pursuing. You know, we're the ones to pursue.
Okay. All right, good. I wanted to find out what the mindset was. So, okay, well, thanks.
Yeah.
Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us. Okay, so that was interesting. Thank the caller for calling.
Yeah, I like that question. That was a good question.
It was a good question. But I just want to put out for some men who aren't as bold. It's been my experience when I was married, and it's been my experience being single. Sometimes men don't pick up those clues. Sometimes we don't see the signs that a woman is interested. It's happened to me several times, again, when I was married and when I was single. And then come to find out, I was having a conversation with the person. I was, but she wasn't feeling me. I keep wanting to give you all kind of hints. I'm like, I'm sorry, maybe I'm slow. But, again, it's the mindset. If you have the mindset that you're not trying to get married, you don't want to be with anybody, or you just don't think you're worthy, she can throw all kind of clues at you and hints, and that man may not pick up on her. So you can't always rely on us to pick up the clues and the hints, because sometimes either we're slow, or sometimes we may not be interested, or we may not think we're worthy, and we may just dismiss it. I mean, I've had... Anyway,
so are you saying that so correct me if I'm wrong. Are you saying that then with the clues that because you may miss the clues, then you saying it's okay for the woman to approach you? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with the woman saying that she's interested in getting to know someone or interested in finding out more.
So initially approaching you, that's my question, because that's the scenario he put out there. Are you saying that it's okay for a woman to approach you and want your phone number to get to know you?
Oh, yeah. If I've read the Bible correctly, doesn't it say we have not because we ask not?
Or does that only apply
in certain situations? I'm not trying to be argumentative, but I'm just a valid question to me, though. It does say... You know, we have that because we have.
What did say before that? How about that? I don't remember that part right now. Okay, right.
But,
so that's why we got to be careful when we're throwing stuff out, because we need to make sure that we read it before and after, because he could have been talking about
reading the whole context.
Okay, but the
yeah.
right.
we
principle.
Can't really say yes or no because we got to know what the scripture says and
okay.
validate that, because then we're just going along with something that we're not really sure and we don't want to give false
okay.
information. That's all.
Okay, let me retract the statement as far as what the Bible says about we have not because we ask not. But would you agree with me that a key component to any type of relationship, romantic, business, a team or whatever, is communication?
Oh, communication is effective.
Right,
it should be. It's key
so,
in any. Yes, absolutely.
Right. So then it should be okay for a woman to communicate to a man, hey, you know, I've seen you in the supermarket a couple of times. You seem like a pretty decent guy. You think it's probably
going to work? I mean, I hear what you're saying, but going back to what you said to them gentlemen earlier, some men may take that as, yo, she thirsty. You didn't say that word.
Right. It depends on the individual. We really can't throw out, and me included, I can't throw out blanket statements. And I thought I'd
right.
preface that
right.
before.
Yeah.
But
in general,
I was my preference as far what I was point as far as I'm concerned, I don't have a problem with the woman coming up to me at the gas station, and saying something like, you know, hi, nice weather we're having, or something like that, or I like that, or excuse me, sir. What is that cologne you're wearing? It smells good. I don't see anything wrong with that. And then having a conversation over the cologne or whatever, and then we
but
end up exchanging numbers.
Then let me get your phone number. That's
so yeah, that's different because
that's different.
And I'll say this because
no, the last part of my statement was we
is.
End up
yes,
exchanging
it is.
Phone numbers.
Yes, it is. That's different.
Okay.
Then saying, can I get your phone number as opposed to saying, oh, what kind of cologne you got on? That smells nice. That's different than me coming out and just saying, I see you be here. I want to talk to you. Can I have your phone number? That's different.
No, but I ended my last statement by saying, and we end up exchanging phone numbers. That was the last statement.
I still, you did, but I would still say that it's different. And again, whenever I speak, I give examples so that I can get my point across because I've learned that sometimes I can say things and it's taken the wrong way. I have, by nature, I'm very shy. So I would never approach a guy if I was interested in him. And then I'm also clueless because if a guy is approaching me, unless it's hardcore, hey, I like you, I'm interested in you, he can be giving signs and it'd be going totally over my head. I just won't get it. But there have been times like if a guy has on a nice cologne, I'm like, wow, that's a nice cologne you have on. And I don't mean anything by it. But he think it's like me trying to come on to him, and I'm saying, no, man, you just got a nice cologne. Or if a guy has something on that I find is, you know, hey, I like that shirt. So it's just a simple, hey, I like that, but it means nothing else. I'm not trying to strike up a conversation. It's just, hey, wow, that's a really nice shirt or a nice pair of shoes or whatever. But a guy can take it the wrong way. So to me, that's different than a woman coming up to a man and saying, hey, can I have your phone number? I've been seeing you in here, woo, woo, woo. Can I have your phone number? So that's different than a woman walking up and then they strike up a conversation based on a compliment that meant nothing. But then as time, they talking within that short time, then, yeah, let's exchange phone. Those are two different things.
Yeah. And because
well,
the truth of the matter is she might like the cologne and want to buy it for her man and help. That's what she got already.
Exactly. And sometimes she will even use that as an excuse, too. So we spent 33 minutes on this and 14 seconds.
When you said
it's
an excuse, what do you mean?
No, I'm serious. So we spent 33 minutes and 21 seconds on this last question. So
no, we didn't.
Can we
because
move
we
to the next one?
With that gentleman before that. It's impossible we spent 33 minutes on that. You're timing that same conversation with that gentleman that we had with this.
Oh, okay. I thought that was part of it. I apologize.
Well,
so
yeah, you're right.
So are we still
right.
on this question?
You're right. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I didn't go on to the next one.
Yes, it's 7:53.
It was a question asked that had nothing to do with the questions. That's what it was. But
okay.
Okay, so let's go on to the next
listen,
question.
Listen, we spent 33 minutes on this question.
Okay. Robert, you are an excellent timekeeper. Thank you, sir. So I'm not going to do number three. I'm going to do number three last. I'm going to jump to number four. What is your take on dating someone if a different belief? I thought we went over that in the first session. when we talk about different beliefs, when we talk about the do's and don'ts, I thought we went over that already. Did we? What do you guys think?
No.
We didn't? Okay.
No.
So what is your take? Who wants to jump in?
We kind of answered that early on in this broadcast. How can two walk together?
We
still
have to walk together except they agree and all of that.
Yeah.
All right, so number five. What are some of your deal breakers should you even burn?
I'm sorry. Can we bounce back to that question? I want to bounce back to it for a reason, because there are some women and men out here to think, well, I can date this person, although they're of a different relief, because I can convert them. And I think that's a mistake that a lot of people make, because if that person is as strong in their faith as you are in yours, then you can jump into it thinking that, hey, I can convert them to win them over to my side. And if you're not careful, you'll end up slipping and they'll end up converting you, or you'll fall away from what you believe. And you're throwing that scripture out that says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? You're throwing that scripture out the window, because in your mind, you like this person so much and you're thinking, I can convert them. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
It also sets that person up to think that they are God. Because if God can't convert them and change, and God is not going to force them to change what they believe, what makes us think that we as humans can make somebody, change somebody, or convert them over? That's not our job.
Yeah.
That's the Holy Spirit's job. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, he uses us as a tool to give them the information, is what they do with it after the fact.
Exactly. But we can't make them change.
We can't make them.
We can't change them or convert them.
No, that's the Bible talks about he who wins souls is wise. So that's what God, the Holy Spirit, will give us the wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't go in thinking that we can and that this will be a suitable person for us, because they're not where they should be. You know.
Right, because one plants, another waters, but God gives the increase.
Right.
Okay, what are some of your deal breakers? Should you even burn a bridge? I thought that was more like with the red flags. No? What do y'all think?
So what was the question again? You're talking about...
What are some of the deal breakers?
Oh, wow. I'm not jumping on that one first. Robert or Ray, you guys can go ahead and talk about deal breakers, because I think that's different from what we talked about earlier. Yep.
Okay. Robert?
Oh, it would be me. I think I saw a video clip that Maggie posted today about the guy and the narcissistic person. So deal breakers for me would be, you know, someone that's controlling, someone that's manipulative, someone that, like he said, okay, someone that knows that, okay, if we sleep together, you know, and I know, I'm going to forgive you. So, you know, I'm going to give you a while, and then I'm going to sleep with you. And then, you know, we can repent and ask God to forgive us until next time. And I'm paraphrasing now. So someone is controlling or manipulative, or know that I have certain standards, but they're constantly getting me to lower my standards. It's like, no, you really not for me, because if you were my friend, you wouldn't be persistently asking me to do certain things. So those are just a few. I want to be brief so someone else has the time.
Right.
Wow, that was good. That was good.
Yeah, that was good.
I'm going to say trust, accusations, stuff like that would be a deal breaker. If someone keep accusing me of doing something that I'm not doing, that can become a deal breaker. So trust in the accusation is very important for me. So at least trust is very important. But I don't like to be accused of something, and if I'm being accused of something all the time, day in, day out, that's gonna definitely break the bank and the deal.
Yes, and burn the bridge. Yeah.
And burn the bridge. Or blow the bridge up, you know. Lord, that'll be a deal breaker for me. Yeah.
Yeah, deal breaker for me. All of the above, what you said, and please do not lie to me. Oh my God, I can't take a liar.
Yep.
Yeah, you definitely burning a bridge with that. I forgive you. That don't mean like I let you back in.
Yeah.
You know. So the deal breaker for me is I mentioned earlier with the red flags, inconsistencies and lying. Like, just tell the truth. You know, game manipulating. I can't feel the manipulation and the control. You know, all of that. Mm-hmm. That those are deal breakers for me. Let me see. Ooh, number six. Okay, before we go to number six, because I think that's gonna take a little time. I'm gonna go back to number three. It says advice on how to have a nice wedding without going broke. So I'm going to answer this one real quick because in my head I already planned my wedding.
Uh-huh.
I am not going broke. To me, I got to live the next day. I got to eat the next day. So I ain't going broke. If I ain't talked to you in 6 months to a year, I ain't having no huge wedding to be feeding folk that ain't say hello to me and I'm seeing whatever. No, that's my take on it. Anybody else want to chime in?
So I joke with my family a lot, but I'm serious about it also. It's because I'm not going to spend a lot of money on a wedding. I'm happy standing before my church after the end of the service and say, you know, we do our vows. We're going to the justice of the peace. I want a nice honeymoon.
Right.
But I'm not even going to go on that honeymoon.
Right.
I mean, because I just can't see spending $20,000, $30,000 on a wedding. I just, you know, call me cheap, frugal, whatever. I just can't see it. And nor can I see spending that kind of money on a honeymoon either. I'd rather have a nice honeymoon and a very few people at a wedding elope or do whatever. But at the end of the day, like you said, Meg, I got to live. We got to live the next day. You know, we got to do this. We got it. So, you know, the vows are where you get married. It doesn't really matter. It's the vows. So you can say those vows anywhere. But what's going to happen down the road? So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Any of the men want to jump
in?
Did
you say something, Bridget, Robert?
But I thought Ray was going to go first. But I can go since I'm already talking. This is why premarital counseling and clear communication and defining the relationship is extremely important, because then you'll know what we're going to spend on a wedding,
mm-hmm.
what we're going to spend on a honeymoon, where we're going to live, you know, because unfortunately, too many people spend more time planning the wedding than they do plan on being married.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
point.
It's a distinct
good
difference
point.
Because you spend $40,000 or $50,000, you know, on a wedding, and it's like, okay, now let's go back to living in mom's basement. You know, or let's stay in this. Okay, now we go back to living in this one or two bedroom apartment. It said, no, you can't. So we have to have these conversations, and definitely have to have premarital counseling where more will come out, and not just like a one day premarital counseling class. But and you have these conversations, so everyone is on the same page as far as what we're going to do, because you want to live. And you don't want that burden of, okay, it's going to take us 3 or 4 years to pay off all of these bills for this wedding, which adds a burden and adds stress to the whole relationship. Because there are already going to be some that two people have become one, and now they're living under one roof. And some of the things that have been hidden for months or years now come out that you're married. So you already have those unknowns to deal with. You don't want the extra burden of the finances being what they are in debt, added to the stuff that you're going to discover in the first 2 or 3 years of being married.
All right. Did you want to say anything, Ray?
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Your show.
Yeah.
Okay. It's one length show.
Maggie, can I add one thing? I want to also say, because I've noticed that Robert has said often, almost on every show, about premarital counseling. And I think that's a good point, Robert, because you have a lot of women, unfortunately, especially young women, who look at these TV shows or look at movies, and they build their concept of a marriage, and even talking wedding, of a marriage on those shows that they watch. And they have no clue of how realistic those two becoming one, living under one roof, really is until they get into it. And then once they get into it and they find out that, oh, this is not like it was on this show. It's not, that's not how I thought it was going to be. That creates a whole nother level of problems in a marriage. So I really like that you keep bringing that out, the pre-marriage counseling. Because a lot of people, especially those who will be getting married for the first time, they're not, a lot of people aren't really realistic about what actually takes place when you give up living by yourself and move in with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
That is a whole different, and I think that's one of the things that used to scare me, is like, I'm giving up my freedom. And I like not having to answer to anybody. I only have to answer God. When I come in, I can come in when I want. I can do that whole mindset. Everything changes when you become married. You're no longer, I mean, as saints, we're no longer our own anyway. But when you get married, you have to answer to someone. It's no longer, oh, I'm going to go out and run and do this, or I'm going to go out and run and do that. It's not like that anymore. You are one with somebody else, so you can't just do what you used to do. I have a cousin. I respect her to the highest. She and I are very close, and whenever we were playing something, she'll be like, let me check with my husband. She'll say his name. I'm not going to say his name in case they're listening. Let me check with him first. And I'm like, okay, yeah. But I have the utmost respect for her, and they've been married, I know, over 30 years, but I have the utmost respect because she checks with him. Even if we're just planning a hangout, or we're going to get together and hang out for a day or something, or she checks with him to make sure it's all right. And I love that. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend who does the same thing. So I'm finished talking. Thank you. I can go on and on at times, so I need to know when to shut up on something.
No, that's good. And that's true. And that's the way it should be. You know, definitely in a marriage, that's the way it should be. But like you said, they're watching these shows and they're doing, you know, and it's misconception, you know, with those shows. So anybody else want to say anything?
I just key what you said as far as the comparison that people making based on what they see on TV or social media. I just heard a story, I think yesterday, but it may have been on a couple of days ago. I think it was the Strawberry Letter on the Steve Harvey Morning Show, where a guy proposed to his fiance. He proposed to his girlfriend at the movie theater after the movie was over, and she was upset because her hair wasn't done, her nails wasn't done, it wasn't recorded. She wanted to know, and she said that he's going to have to propose again after she gets her hair done and her nails done, so that they can video record it, I guess, to post on social media.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, do you really want to be married, or do you just want a production so everybody can see that somebody proposed to you? It's like, okay, wait a minute. Whatever happened to love and wanting to be one with me? It's like, okay, you want to be one with me, but you want millions of people to see that, you know, I proposed to you. I mean, where's the priority?
But the comparison can ruin
relationships.
Yeah, but see, the thing is with that, too, is that that's the society, that's where we are now, because everything is a production. When you look at things that are happening to people on the street, like, for instance, me and Ray had this conversation a while back, where this girl was on a train and a man assaulted her. He raped her in front of people. People are recording the situation without not helping her. They're recording it. Like, who records?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That just devastated me. That's where we are now. That's where we're living in right now. People are big on recording. I even seen a while back when I was still living in New York, where a guy was attacked on the train, and while he was being attacked, they were fighting. And he got to do the good fight, and the guy had a knife, and he kept telling the people, "Help me! He got a knife." He gave him a good fight, but then after a while, the guy was able to stab him. Then you see the blood, and then people are recording it, and then you hear one of the guys, "Yo, you need help?" Like, did he not say he has a knife? Help me? I was like, you can't make this stuff up. You cannot make this stuff up. So that's where we are in the society now. That's what I could say. I say that to say that. That's what people are doing, sadly to say. But you, like, Robert, the word you use, but they want a production.
Yeah, I think a couple years ago, I posted on my Facebook timeline, man does not live by likes and shares alone. That's where we are. That's where, as a society, as a culture now, it's like, how many shares can I get? How many likes can I get? It's about content. And it's like, what about the content of your heart and your character? But that's another story.
So, last question, guys. It says, unless we think of something else, because we're on to 8:30. It says, how do you let go after they have moved on? So I'm guessing relationship, if they have moved on, but you're still holding on, how do you let go? Everybody can jump in. I ain't calling nobody.
One thing. Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, probably with time. You know, it, some things just have to take time, and prayer, of course. Prayer first, time, fasting, yeah, and stuff. And
so, what do you mean by let go? Because if a person says, "Okay, I'm gone." Do you mean let go emotionally or let go, okay, no problem, all right, why are you gone? So are you saying you let go emotionally?
So I guess it would mean all of that because if you in a relationship and you got and the person decides that they want to move on, your emotions are attached to it. So I guess it would be all of it. How do you move on from that?
It's not an easy place, but I think, again, it goes back to prayer and time and letting the person go. You don't want anybody to be with you that don't want to be with you. So, you know, but it has to come through time, you know, because what usually happens is that person would always try to come back into your life at a different period of that, you know, just to test the waters, you know what I mean, to see if they can still get with you or whatever. So, but it has to be time. There has to be prayer and much time, you know. I don't know anyone as capable of just cutting out their emotions when somebody said, "Okay, I don't want to be with you anymore. Okay, it's over with." It's not as easy as like just say. At least for, let me speak for myself. It's not easy for me to say it's over with. Okay, me being the type of person I am, we still try to work things out, but there's a time limit on it. And there's a time limit. And then eventually, okay, I did everything I could do. I can't do anything else about it. Okay, all right. God knows I tried. It's time to move on. And I begin the process.
So I guess that's...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I guess that's what I was asking because you have some people that once a relationship ends, if the person moves on, then they still haven't moved on as far as, and I'm not even talking emotionally, they will still try to reach out to that person, try to you know, they'll be still calling them or still trying to go around or still sending them stuff.
Right.
So they haven't moved on in that aspect. Emotionally, yes, I know that's going to take some time, especially if your emotions, if you were into this person. So, yeah, that part is going to take some time. But others, I guess in my mind, if a person ends a relationship, no problem. It's over. Yeah, I'll get over. I'll hurt. I'll get over it. But I'm not going to be reaching out to them anymore. Once they say it's over, it's over.
But see,
that's why I was asking that question, to see where you what were you talking about? Were you talking about emotionally or moving on as far as no more reaching out to them?
It's going to depend on the depth of the relationship.
Yeah.
And then there's some other factors. I just discovered this because, Ray, I totally agree with what you said. What I would add to what Ray said as far as prayer and fasting is that time piece. It's what you do with that time. That is the time that you have to do the work of healing, do the work of finding out what part did you play in it, if at all, and the real reason behind it. This is one of the books I'm reading, one of the psychologists said, you have to accept the reality of it all, that yes, this did happen. And it's like, okay, now what do I do with what happened? The other thing I learned, I didn't realize this. I've experienced it, but I didn't know why. But I'm reading one of the books that I was reading called Attached, Dealing with the Relationship Style. He said that there's a biological truth to it. And what he said is that numerous studies show that once we become attached to someone, the two of us form a physiological unit. Our partner regulates our blood pressure, our heart rate, our breathing, and the levels of the hormones in our blood. We are no longer separate entities. Now, of course, this is based on a deep relationship, whether you're engaged, whether you're married, or, you know, and that all plays a factor in it. And so it's sort of like once I got saved, I used to think some of the songs that we sang in R&B songs were not true. They were just, you know, we said, oh, if I lose you, I lose a part of me. Well, in some ways now I realize that it is, because that person has been, besides from the spiritual standpoint, you develop soul ties with that person, but there's some physiological things that have happened. And so that's when that person is gone, there's a certain pain that we experience, and there's a certain discomfort that we experience. So now that they're gone, the way you let go, besides prayer and fasting, is doing the work to go through the healing process. Because in some relationships, whether you were married or just engaged or you just had a long-standing relationship or the depth of it, you have to go through the grieving process.
Well, yeah.
Because it's a loss, and you got to deal with that grief, and you got to do the work to be healed. And what some people do is they hurt for a while, and then a couple weeks later, a couple months later, they go and get another relationship without doing the work that they needed to do from that past relationship and possibly previous relationships that were never dealt with. And then they end up, after a while, going through the same thing again, another breakup, because the real work that needed to be done was never done. So with the way we facilitate letting go, is getting healed first and accepting the reality of it. And it's like that, it's not really a cliche, but it's like what God has for me is for me. There's a scripture that says, you know, if they were with us, they would have never left us. You know, I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Marilyn Monroe, I think it was Single, Separate, and Life After Divorce, mentioned that when a person gets a divorce, and he used it from a standpoint of marriage, it's like a part of you has been amputated, like just your arm has been amputated, he used for example. He said, because what happens is that that part is missing. Even if it was a bad breakup, it doesn't matter. That part of you is missing. And we both know, well, we all know, I'm saying we both, like it's just me and Robert on here, but we all know that when you look at amputation, in that person's mindset, that part of the body is still there, but in reality it's not. So now you have to get your mind to adjust to the fact that it's not there. So that's where it comes into the fact. You know, I'm getting deep on myself. Help me, Holy Ghost. That's when it comes to the fact that what Robert was saying is that you got to heal. When Ray was saying you got to heal, you got to go through the process of healing, because now you have to readjust your mind that this person is no longer there. You have to readjust your thinking, because now that part of your body is not there. So I'm thinking, you know, it's always been there, but now it's not. So now I got to go through the process. You know, that's why people go through what they do, therapy and different things, because now, because the mind's still thinking that part of the body that has been amputated is still there. So once they go through the therapy process and they get adjusted and realize, you know, and then have to learn to work without that part of the body that's been amputated. So when we look at it from a relationship standpoint, we go through the healing process and we allow God to heal us. We go through praying and we go through fasting, getting in the Word and working on ourselves. Then now God is coming in, Holy Spirit is helping us to realize that part of the that person is no longer there. However, Holy Spirit is here. So he's going to help us, because that's what he does, right? That's what the Holy Spirit does. So he's going to help us get through that hurt, because what he does, he heals us in the process. Amen?
Mm. Amen. Hey, Maggie, for those that will be listening to the replay or that are listening on the radio, what you're talking about is called phantom limb syndrome.
Thank you.
And it's defined as a condition in which patients experience sensations, whether painful or otherwise, mm-hmm. in a limb that does not exist.
Mm-hmm.
Phantom limb syndrome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Thank
wow.
you. Yeah, yeah. So we just got to, you know, in life itself is a process. Whether we have breakups, whether we even relationship is process, getting to know each other, you know, getting that data, collecting that information, everything is a process, and we just have to be willing to go through the process. We have to be willing to go through it. So if there's nothing else, is there any questions, Ray? Anybody put any questions in there, anything? Anybody want to say, have some last words, and then we're going to pray and close out?
No, I don't. Give me 1 second, okay?
Yeah, I'm checking my timeline.
Yeah, I don't see any questions.
So, for those who are listening, I want to put this out there. If you think we should continue with the do's and don'ts of dating for 2022, because we're looking for ideas and themes to move forward and for the new year, please send messages, Matters of the Heart on Facebook or Christian, what is it, ChristianSpeak.com, please?
Yeah, ChristianSpeak at gmail.com.
At gmail.com.
Or with ChristianSpeak.
That way, give us some ideas. We want your feedback. We want to hear from you. We're doing this for you guys. It's not just for us. We're not doing it for us. We're doing it so that we can reach the masses, singles everywhere throughout all nations. We all
yes.
find some kind of commonality where we are single, where we have gone through hurts, upsets, and some of us have some success stories. Share them with us so that we're able to spread the gospel, to encourage one another through this platform. Share. So is there anybody else want to say anything?
Just on what you just said to the listeners, if you have experienced or you may potentially experience going through a breakup and going through the healing process, the group component or having a forum or having a place where you can discuss with like-minded people things that you've experienced, that will facilitate healing. That, I think, will also facilitate being able to let go. When you find out that you're not the only one that has experienced it, but someone has experienced in the past, or they may be experiencing at the same time you have, you can find out that you're not the only one. Mm-hmm. And then you can, and not only that, but one of the things I discovered is sometimes we're more prone to do the uncomfortable things that we don't want to do if we have other people encouraging us, no, you have to take these steps. I'm taking the same steps, and it wasn't as easy for me too. But when we try to do things on our own sometimes, we can talk ourselves out of doing the right thing. But we're in a group setting or we have a forum where we can talk about things that we're experiencing, it gives us the courage to go ahead and do the difficult thing because we know we have people cheering for us and coaching us, but we also have people who are going through the same thing. Isn't there a scripture that talks about how we have to be encouraged because our brothers and sisters in other places are going through the same thing? I don't know where it is now. But anyway, but yeah, I just wanted to add that, especially when Maggie brought up the part about we want to help others, and it's not just for us, but we're trying to help others that have questions about relationships. That was it.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. All right, so if there be no more, I'm going to close out in prayer. Actually, I want to ask Sister Renee to pray. Sister Renee, would you pray, please?
Okay. Of course. Father, we thank you so much for this broadcast. We thank you, Father, for the ministries of this matters of the heart. We thank you, Father, for the questions that were raised, the discussions that came from those questions. We thank you, Father, for helping us to understand, Father, that we are one with you, that we are in you. Therefore, Father, even in dating, even in the relationships, Father, we ought to put you first. We ought to come to you and acknowledge you in all things because your word says that we lean not to our own understanding, but to trust you for everything. And when we do that, Father, that you will direct our paths. We thank you, Father, that we can rely on you to guide us in relationships, the relationships that we get into, even if they are not good for us, Father. We can trust your Holy Spirit to give us those tickers in the Spirit, Father. We can trust you to give us understandings of where we are in those relationships. But, Father, most of all, we thank you because you reveal to us who we are and what we are ready for and what we should be and should not be involved with. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Spirit that resides on the inside. We thank you, Father, for your word says that the same power that raised Christ from the dead resides in us, and we thank you for that. We thank you for salvation, and we thank you, Father, for all that you have done in our lives and what you're continuing to do. Father, we ask that even as we lead this ministry on tonight, that you will continue to let the questions and the discussions ring in our hearts, Father. Let us learn from what was said on tonight. Even as we go forward, Father, continue to order our steps. Let us trust you for everything, Father. Let us not rely on our own understanding, Father, but let us seek you in everything. Let us be wise to the wiles of the enemy. Let us be wise to those who we send in our path, Father, that are dressed in sheep's clothing. Father, let us not be deceived by the plan of the enemy. Let our desires not overwhelm us so that we will get caught up into things that we shouldn't be involved in. Father, we thank you so much, and we trust you and rely on you. We ask these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Before we go, for those who are listening, that scripture I was referencing is actually 1 Peter 5:9. New Living Translation says, "Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are."
Okay. Amen.
Thank you for sharing.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome.
Amen. Thanks, everyone. You've been listening to When Christians Speak Talk Radio. This has been Matters of My Heart. It's been an awesome broadcast. I'm asking you to please share. There's some maybe you know someone that needs to hear the panel discussion of do's and don'ts. We want everyone to have a great holiday. Christmas Day is coming up, New Year's, and we'll see you in 2022. And I want to thank the host and everyone that has joined us today and the discussions and everything. I really appreciate each and every last one of you. I thank you for the different opinions, the same opinions, all of that. You have definitely been just a vision that I had years ago. So I'm really grateful to each and every single last one of you. Thanks a lot. Okay. So God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless you all.
God bless.
God bless.
Okay.